טוב. So we're learning הלכות of בן אדם לחברו. תראה בגרונות הלכות of כיבוד ומורה רבו. How do you respect and have מורה, have awe from your rabbi, from the Rav? חייב אדם מכבוד רבו ויראה ממנו. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the person is obligated to respect his Rav and to have awe from him more than from his parents. Like the Mishnah says, your parents brought you only to this world, and the Rav brings you to the next world, which is the Torah. Therefore, a person has to respect his Rav and have awe from him, have yira from him, more than his parents even. Why? It says, Mora Rabach ke Mora Shamayim. It says in the Mishnah that the fear of your Rav should be like you fear heaven. It's a Mishnah that says that we have to respect. It says that regarding if you find two items, one belongs to your father, one belongs to your Rav, and you can't take them both. You can take only one of them. So you take your Rav's before you take your father's.
I don't know, maybe.
All the same. Okay, listen.
Can your Rav be your father?
Of course your Rav could be your father. That's the best. Yeah, you have to talk to him respectfully and not to sit in his seat and not to contradict the Rav. And also, and not to say, like, if he says, I don't know, it's this way or that way. He says, no, it's this way. No one asked you. Unless they ask you, you don't become his Rav. Now, this Rav that we're talking about over here is Rabo Amuvhak. His Rav. Not any Rav who teaches you. Your Rav. Who's your Rav? The Gemara says, "Lametzia, Shirov Torato Himenu." That most of the Torah is from him. What does that mean? So here it brings down the Rav that you're with him for many years. Hey, you're learning from him for many years. He's your Rav. And also, a Gadol Ador. Even if it's not your personal Rav, he's called Rav Amuvhak. Someone who all of Am Yisrael, many people of Am Yisrael accept him as a Rav. Even if he's not your personal Rav, he's also Rav Amuvhak, so he has to respect him the same way. Okay? For example, Rav Avadia says that Tzad. Even though I don't pass him by his Pesachim, but he's considered the Rav Amuvhak. Why? Because he's Gadol Ador. Rav Eliashiv, all the Gdolim. I say Rav Shalom is my Rav Muvah. Because even though I didn't learn a lot of halacha from him and stuff like that, I learned how to live from him. So he gave me most of life. So I have to respect him. Chiyut. He still gives me all the time Rav Hashem. Okay, so now the law of details. אסור לתלמיד לקרוא לרבו בשם פרטי, לא בחייו, לא הלכה מותו, במפניו, במשלם מפניו. A person cannot call his Rav in his first name. Okay? He can't call up Shalom. Okay? Or anyone's Rav. Not in his lifetime, not after he's not around anymore. Not if it's in front of him, or not in front of him, no. You say, הרב, פלוני. You'll call him by his first name, סתם. Yeah. Some say you shouldn't even say his name at all. You say only Harav Arush. Or Harav. Not to say at all his first name. Not to say Harav Shalom even. But fine, if you say Harav before, Seder. Some say that if you're in front of the Rav, you definitely shouldn't call him Harav Shalom, Harav Shalom. That's not respectful. Only Harav. Just Harav. You're in front of the Rav, Harav. That's what you call him, Harav. Okay?
The whole thing of the Shem Mishpacha is about Harav.
Yeah, so you call him Harav.
Right.
It's
like
Mariah,
everyone's
Yochanan. Okay. Yeah. You know why they don't have Harav before them? I know by the Tanaim, some of the Tanaim have Rebbe, and some of the early Tanaim don't have any Rebbe before them. So my father told me that it's because it was so high. It's like we can't say Harav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond anything we can understand. So also these big tzaddikim like Hillel HaZaken and Shammai, and all these big Tanaim, the early Tanaim, they don't have any title before them because they're so huge. Any title you give them, you make them too small. It's too small for them. So you just say who they are. What can you say? Zusha. A Rebbe of Zusha. Okay. Talmid HaPogesh BeRabo Tzarich Lish'ol B'Shlomo. Someone who meets his Rav, he has to say how he's doing. Okay. Shalom HaRab, Ma Shlomchem. ואין נותנים שלום לרב כדרך שנותנים לשאר בני אדם. You don't say shalom to the rab like you say it to your friend. Ah, רב, מה נשמע? אסור, אסור to do that. It's not respectful. It's a rab. What do you say? You go a little bit down. שלום עליכם רבי, שלום עליכם. הרב, תן כיף. Respectful, בקיצור. Just think about the stand in the world, the presidents and stuff. How people talk to them in a respectful way, right? So a Rav is a bit more than any president. No? Of course, you have to respect the Rav to let him go in first into the shul or out of the shul. Let him only, the only place where you don't respect to go in and out is in the bathroom. It says in the Gemara, "En kibudim b'shirutim." Rav Takiseh. Achronim. Say kilu. He has his own bathroom usually.
No.
And kibud. And kibud b'shirutim. You let him go in first?
I let him go in first.
No. No kibud in shirutim. Maybe you're more meshukatz than him. Yeah, don't give kibud in the shirutim. Maybe you need more urgent than him. When a Rav goes with people around him, let's say Rav Arush is walking around with people around him, Rav Elgol is there, and you are also there, so you let Rav Elgol walk on the right side, and the smaller one walks on the left side. Okay? And even if you're walking on the right, don't gotta go ahead, go a little bit batzad. חייב אדם לעמוד בפני רבו המובהק משעה שרואו כמלוא עיניו ולא מתיישב כל עוד רואו עד שיושב הרב במקומו חובת עמידה פעמיים ביום גם פורט בהערה. A person is חייב, כן? To stand in front of his rav המובהק from the time he sees him until he sits down or until he can't see him anymore. Unless he's planning on standing the whole time, so then you don't have to. He goes to a place where he's going to be, so fine. He's standing, so that's the place he could sit. Twice a day you have to get up for him.
Or if in the case of traveling, like let's say like Rav Arsh happened to be on the same plane as you, would everyone allow Rav Arsh to go first, or would we go on and then you're supposed to, like you see him, you're supposed to stand up on the plane?
If you're with him,
yeah,
let him go first. If you're not with him, go. When he comes in, stand. If the Rav gets an aliyah, you have to stand. If it's your Rav Muvak, there's a minhag even if you're able to stand the whole time until he goes to sit down. When Rav Sharon gets aliyah, I stand the whole time.
Understand? I understand. It's a kasha on the Kabbalah of Torah versus Kabbalah of Rav.
Why?
You're not supposed to distinguish between like certain parshas. You're not supposed to stand all of a sudden and not stand.
If you're not standing for the Torah, you're standing for the Rav. If you walk in to meet the Rav, let's say you have a meeting with the Rav, and you walk in, you're not supposed to sit down. You wait. You walk in. If the Rav tells you sit, sit, you sit. You don't leave before the Rav tells you to leave. Okay?
How about if you don't get to your question?
Huh?
Fine.
So you say,
if I go to see Rabbi Yoga, for example, I don't want to be a to your question, so I'm like, I try to keep it short so I get out of there so he has more time to learn the Torah or do other things.
Okay, so you stay, Rav, and you're going to sit. Right? If the Rav goes, usually Shilas.
Right.
So Shalom, you still have time to...
And the Yehudas, I would just say, if you're sitting down with him for 8, so I drop
Yeah, usually. So you walk in and he's waiting there. Let's say you're registered there on Wednesdays if people go into the Rav. Right? And you go in there, so you don't go in and sit right away. You go in and you wait by the chair. You usually will say right away, sit, sit. And then you can also understand from his movement when he tells you it's finished, it's over. Then of course you go and leave. When you leave the Rav, he's sitting down. You're leaving him. It's like leaving the Shechina. You don't go with your back to him. Like leaving a shul. How do you leave a shul? You walk back when you go out the door. Or same thing when you go out from a Rav. If it's your Rav Muvak, that's how you go out from him. Harav shemachal al kvodo, kvodo machur. Oh, this is a very good halacha. That's why we can be a lot lenient sometimes. Very lenient. A Rav that he doesn't care for his kavod for certain things, for example, so fine, he's allowed to. For example, the Rav Shalom says, don't wait for me after Shmoneh Esrei. So you don't wait for him. Rav Shalom says, sit, 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 it's okay, sit, sit. So he doesn't care, so fine, you can sit. Stuff like that.
You should wait for a question, rabbi. Even a question, rabbi, you should wait for after Shmoneh Esrei.
A question, rabbi?
Like an important rabbi.
Usually, yeah, if he's, yeah. Especially the Rav of the place.
Not even around the place. Let's say that there's a visiting father, you're in a meeting where there's somebody who's of big importance.
Yeah, supposed to wait unless he doesn't care.
We just squared off on that.
Is that?
We just squared off on that recently.
What about Rabbi?
No, say if like Ramayana comes to Dabin, I mean.
Ask him.
Right. We should wait forever or not? It's also Jeff Hasibor, like, let's say he's dominating 20 minutes longer than everybody.
You have to ask him. You have to ask him permission. Yeah, I'm sure he'll stay fine. I'm sure he won't mind. Ask him.
He was a 10th guy.
Hmm?
The Shredad, he was a 10th man. He finished.
Ah.
Alright.
But ask him, someone who's close with him, ask him, is it okay if we continue or should we wait for you? I'm sure he'll stay. I don't know what they want from me, who am I? He can't sit in the Rav's chair, in the Rav's place, even though he's not there. It's his seat, you don't sit there. Like your parents also. My kids know, they want to sit in my chair, they ask permission before.
I was rebuked for that once.
By your parents?
No, by my wife.
That's a good rebuke.
So you're in the rabbi's chair.
I remember when Rav Nachman Awosh, I think, he went up to talk, and Rav Shalom wasn't there yet, and they had only Rav Shalom's chair over there. He refused to sit. Also his father, also the Rav, what are you going to sit in his father's chair? He stood. When a Rav comes into the shul, you don't right away jump on him and ask him questions. Or if two students are there, not two of them at the same time, blah, blah, blah. If someone doubts if the Rav knows the answer, you shouldn't ask him a question. Don't ask him. If he doubts that the Rav will know the answer, don't ask him. You can't go with your Rav Muvak into the mikveh unless you're a shamish. He's old and he needs help and you're a shamish, you're allowed to go. If you're in the mikveh and the Rav comes in, you don't have to leave. When you take out tefillin in front of your Rav, Muvak, if you can't do it without keeping your head covered, so don't do it, go to a different room. But if you can do it all the time with keeping your kippah on, it's just like, it's sort of, yeah. Because you can't take off, be your head uncovered in front of your Rav. And some people are still, they take off. So, fine, you're allowed to do that, but not in front of your Rav. What? Disrespect. Disrespect to be with your head uncovered in front of the Rav. If someone disputes, cholek, disagrees with his Rav, it's like having machloket on the Shekhinah. His Rav says one thing and he says something else, it's like argument on the Shekhinah. Talk about his Rav Muvhak. Rav Muvhak. Okay. And we can't say Allah in front of every Rav. If the Rav's there, he says Allah, unless he tells you to speak. Right? For example, I remember once Rav Shana was there, and his son, Rav Nachman, and Rav Shana told him, Nachman, come and say Allah is now. So of course he has to get up and say Allah. Even though the Rav is there.
If you have a Rav and he falls,
fall down?
No, not fall down. He does things that diminish him. Are you supposed to honor him still as your Rav? Or find a new Rav.
Find a new Rav.
That's my. He's fallen.
You have some of those situations, I think?
I've heard a situation like that, actually. I've heard an answer.
Yeah.
That at least my parents, similar to Rav, use the same ruling. Basically, Kabbalah is broken up into two things, Yira and
Kabbalah.
I think it's broken up into Yira and Kabbalah. For some reason, you lose either one of them for the Rav. You can choose to distance yourself. And you feel like you can't give the body you love.
Oh, yeah?
So you can distance yourself from that body.
Well,
basically, we have come into it. And,
to back up the question before that, who passed me the rabbi's ogre?
everything, my wife and I. So I asked him, before we chose him as our Rav, I said, I'd like to see what, if I know the answer, when, to know if I'm like thinking like I should be, from a lot of standpoint. So I'm not saying that I want to pass it in front of you, but...
Tell me if it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, I asked him. I asked him, have you raised shoes? Seriously. And he
what
said,
he
yeah.
Said?
He said, it was okay.
And if he say wrong, so he helps you out.
Right, exactly.
Not telling you, right, the Rav, I love my so-and-so.
No, absolutely not. I'm saying, I think, it appears to me it would be like, I said, well, we're just the rabbi, the Rav, it appears to me that it would be this. I don't know everything, but I'm ones that I think that are like, I want to see where I'm holding. If I'm really holding, am I thinking?
But you asked him permission before then.
I asked him, I said, in the future, when we pass, is it okay that I maybe sometimes kind of answer my own question, tell you the answer, what I think it is to my question, just for my own chino, to see if I'm thinking it as I should, you know.
Yeah, he said, of course, why not?
He said, it's okay.
You know, when I go to Avshalom to ask him questions, I always tell him,
I hardly ask him any questions, by the way. Only if it's heavy things, very heavy things. I say, Arav, I tell him, whatever you tell me, I'll do. Once I came to him I had 200,000 shekels. I was to buy a house or whatever. So I went over to him and said, Arav, this is the money we have. If you tell me to give it to you 100%, I'll give it to you all. You just tell me what to do with it. And I told him about it. So he finally said, yeah, go for it, buy it. Tell me where to buy it. And I bought Baruch Hashem. But when someone goes to ask Arav a question, halacha for sure, what it says. So you have questions which are not halacha, which is written. Stuff in his life, what to do in life. Should I marry this woman or not? What should I name my kid? I don't know, all kinds of questions. You don't ask his advice. You ask to do. If you're asking advice, tell the Rav, I'm asking you advice. I'm looking for Eitzah. And then you leave it to your own perspective to do it or not. Okay? But if you go to the Rav, you should ask in a way that you're accepting. You can accept what the Rav is saying. Bitul. Understand that Hashem is not, my brother, before he got married, he wanted to get married very badly. He was for years, he was already 30 years old, he was looking for a wife for years and everything. So you know what to do. So he went to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah and he was davening over there. And then he told Hashem, listen Hashem, I want to ask Rav Ofer Erez what to do. The hill, sorry. Hashem, he's the Rav I'm going to ask. Therefore, give me the answer through him. Whatever he says, I'll do. Okay, give him the answer and I'll know what to do. And he went to him. And the first thing he told me, I just heard a new segula that works for sure. For 40 days, go to a holy keter of a tzaddik. Doesn't make a difference who it is. Any of them. It could be one night here, one at chatzot, at night. It's not easy. So he got a partner which has a car. And they also wanted to get married. His roommate or someone. And every night, they went once to Kever Acher, once to Kiva Avod, once to Shmuel HaNavi, once to Shimon HaTzadik. Every night, through half the way already, they both found their spouses. But you see the power that when you believe that Hashem will give, you're deciding, Hashem, this is your holy pipe, so you know, right, to give me the answer, so Hashem will give it to you. But if you're blocking it, you're saying, I don't know if he knows what he's talking about. Yeah, you're blocking it, so the answer won't come. And the other way, at least by Avshalom, he'll answer you a lot of times. If you don't want to accept it, he'll answer what you want to hear. For a fact. He'll answer what you want to hear. That's why I make sure to tell him every time, Arav, don't pay attention to what I am. I want to hear what's the right thing to do, whatever you tell me. That way, he knows I can accept it. And he can say whatever he'll say, I'll say it. But it takes a lot of courage. Sometimes it's... Baruch Hashem. Big chesed.
What are you praying for someone else?
What about it?
I mean, do you go to the Rav asking for someone else's benefit?
Why not? Give it to tzedakah and say it's not for him. Why not? So. If a person talking with the Rav, and he's mentioning something that the Rav taught him before. So he's going to say, like, the Rav taught us so and so. To say, to mention that. The Rav told us a few weeks ago, so and so and so. It's covered for the Rav. Not just to say the halacha is so and so. The Rav taught us the halacha. So give us respect to the Rav. Right, Tamam? Oh, a Rav, a student of a Rav. Let's say you're a student of a Rav. And you became big already. You learned Torah for many years and everything. Now you want to open your own bismedlish and be a Rav yourself, the student. You can't do it without asking permission from your Rav. So by the way, by Rav Shalom, by the way, Rav Balan forced him to open a yeshiva. He didn't want to. He said, no, I don't want to. And he became very sick. He almost died. And he went to Rav Balan and told him, you don't get the hint. You need from Shammayim. They want you to open a place. So not that he got permission, he was shoved by his Rav to open a place. And Baruch Hashem, we're all benefiting from that. Rav Balan. Shlita. Yeah. A Rav that passed in leniently. Why don't I say that? Leniently. Okay. Shkach. And you usually do more strict, that's your minag. Don't do it, the strictness in front of him. Do it at your own home, not in front of the Rav. He's the pastor, then you do what he said in front of him, even though you do otherwise at home. You're allowed to do more strict, whatever you want. But not in front of the Rav, it's disrespect. No. As halacha, we know that someone hurts you, you're supposed to go over and ask him at least for three times, ask him mechila, and if he doesn't want, call to, it's his own problem. Take 10 people, you say, ask from him mechila, he doesn't want to forgive me, and you're over with that. But, if it's a Rav, and not only your Rav, if it's a Rav who teaches Torah, teaches you Torah, even if it's not your Rav, your main Rav, you have to go even 100 times until he forgives you.
What about the good shoppers? What if you insult a classmate or something, and you go three times and it says no? You know, I think that because of what these institutions stands for, it would seem out of character.
You could continue asking. No one said you're not allowed to. You're allowed to. You want to buy him a present. You want to wait another week and maybe he'll calm down. Yeah, you could. No one said you can. You're not obligated. That's the point.
So you could ask him 100 times too.
You could, yeah.
And he might
you're not,
give
but
you 100 times.
Yeah.
So that would be antithetical to what this place is about.
It's true, but it's
so
not your.
You'd be more forgiving.
I'm in the best of it. Well, yeah, is that okay? You know.
Okay.
I forgive you all. I don't know what anyone did to me anytime. I forgive everything. I don't need any respect. I have plenty, Baruch Hashem. Top. One more halacha. הנוהגים למנות בפורים רב פורים, אשר משמיע ביקורת על ראשי הישיבה, מורי המחנכי התוכנית, התחת המלות הישיבה, דיבר סוג ביטול. הערו מן הגרש משבת לא קליל, שאין זה סוכה ומצווה, אלא מושב לצים ולות וסיכלו. We said this already in the beginning, that there's a minute called, a bad minute, it's called a perm rub, which in the yeshivas a lot of times they have them, and what they do is a guy, who knows how to speak very eloquently and very nice and everything, and he makes fun of all the rabbis and all the I'm firm. And it's asur. Doraita, it's asur. Not a decree from the rabbis. It's asur. Doraita. You don't make fun of anyone anytime, especially not from rabbis. Of course, I'm Purim, the holiest day of the year. It's more higher than Yom Kippur. Making fun of the Jew is the day. So of course, the bad one. You could have a perm, but you'll say perm Torah, funny Torahs. Fine. But not to make fun of anyone anytime. It's a vera d'oraita. So, yeah.
What about non-Torah rabbis?
What's that?
Like a Reconstructionist, Humanist, Conservative, whatever.
The mitzvah to... Some of them in the mitzvah to hate, some of them in the mitzvah to... Yeah, I don't know. The mitzvah to get them close to Hashem. Find the right...